Hey, good evening, everybody. We're continuing in our Gemara beginner class. And last week we began looking at the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah on Yud Ches Amud Aleph and Yud Ches Amud Beis. For those who weren't here last time, so the handout has two different versions of the Gemara. It's not a crazy different version. One is just a more of a classic Talmud where the footnotes that lead you to the Mesoras Hashas and the Torah Or just send you across the line with the asterisks and the circles. That's the first page which you have. And then the next page is a copy from the Art Scroll Gemara, the Hebrew and Aramaic only, but the one which the footnotes are a little more modernized, where they actually look like footnotes or endnotes in the sense that they go to one spot. And when it comes to the Mesoras Hashas, the reference is across the Talmud. And when it comes to a pasuk, the Art Scroll actually gives you the entire pasuk that the Gemara refers to. Usually, the Gemara will just give you a few words of the pasuk. It only gives you the words which it needs to prove its point. But the Art Scroll gives you the entire pasuk in a column, which they entitle the Torah Or Hashalim. The complete Torah Or. So not only do they tell you chapter and verse, but they give you the verse. So that's the difference. You can use either Gemara. I apologize that both copies are not particularly clear, but that's the technology that we have here when it comes to photocopy. All right. So we looked at the Mishnah last week, and just to quickly review, the Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Ches Amud Aleph 18a. Talks about how in the olden times when it was Rosh Chodesh, the messengers would go out on 6 months to let on 6 months being Nisan, Av, Elul, Tishrei, Kislev, and Adar, and during the time of the Beis Hamikdash also in Iyar, and basically to let people know when the holidays that they couldn't figure out on their own would be, and of course the glaring absence is the month of Sivan, but as we noted last week, why do we not need to know when the month of Sivan begins, or Shavuos? Right, because Shavuos begins based on the Sfiras HaOmer count. And the Sfiras HaOmer count has nothing to do with a date in Sivan, it has to do with 7 complete weeks. Okay, so what was glaringly missing, though, was were the references to the holidays, the months rather, that have fast days in them. We saw the month of Av to tell us about Tisha B'Av, but the Gemara's question was, what about Tammuz and Teves? Those are two fast days as well, and so maybe we should have a reference to them as well. And so once in terms of the messages going out and letting people know when these months are, so that people would know when the fasts are. And that opened up the Gemara to a question as to whether the fast days still are applicable, whether they should be observed, whether there needs to even be these fast days. And what we saw was the reference to the Pasuk in Zechariah, which I gave you, by the way. See, I one-upped the Art Scroll. I gave you the Pasuk in the very back, in Hebrew and in English. See, even our school doesn't do that. Well, they do, but in the way in which they do. But I didn't give you, not on their page of the Talmud. So I gave you the pasuk from Zechariah, which is the top two verses, Zechariah chapter 8. Komar Hashem, so says the Lord of hosts. Somar Avid, Somar Chamishi, Somar Shavi, Somar Asiri. The fast of the 4th, 5th, 7th, and the fast of the 10th month shall be for the house of Yehuda for joy and happiness, for happy holidays, but love, truth, and peace. Okay, so what do we see from that pasuk is that there will be a time when the fast days will no longer be fast days. And if they're not going to be fast days anymore, then you don't need to have the shaluchim, the messengers, go out to let people know when these months are. Okay, what was the purpose of those fasts? Shivasar B'Tammuz and Asar B'Teves. They were fast primarily commemorating what?
The siege of Jerusalem.
Right, but in one word, what would you say? In Hebrew or English? What? Okay, but right, but with reference to the Beis HaMikdash, you would say it was the destruction. In Hebrew, you might say the Churban. Okay, so if those things, if that's the commonality, then guess what happens? If the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, are these fast days relevant anymore? No, because it's all about a Churban. So right, and if Churban is no longer the case because it's been rebuilt, so... No, that's not... The pasuk, the prophecy from Zechariah talks about these tzom, the tzoms. Yemos HaMashiach is a different story. But let's say the Beis HaMikdash were built without Mashiach. That's what happened in the time of Temple number 2. Okay? So what's the point in fasting over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash when you're in the Beis HaMikdash? Okay, so that's essentially the main thrust of the argument. And so we saw that depending on what the circumstances of the Jewish people are, that would determine what the practice regarding the fast is. So let's just see where we left off. So we're on the page that either says 36 or Yud Ches with two dots on the top right of the page. Everybody have me? You can use either version. Yud Ches with two dots on the top right or number 36. So there, if you follow along from the top of the Talmud, and the middle section is the Talmud, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, we'll just review from there. I'm going to read these lines quickly, and then we're going to continue with where we left off last time. Okay, so look in the middle of the seventh line, where we have the word Amar. Everybody see it? Amar? Amar Rav Papa. So we've been using a few different formulas to try to figure out where phrases begin and where phrases end. And Amar, of course, usually indicates the speaker, and then we find the name of the speaker, and then after we've attached the Amar to the speaker, we move on to what the person said. So Amar Rav Papa said, Hachika Amar. And now the Hachika Amar we also gave you last time. That was it's in the other direction of the booklet. It's on the page which is paginated as number 39 and spilling onto the top of 40. So I'm not going to read that now. We explained it at the time. And essentially what Rav Papa is saying, he's explaining what was told to us before. That Rav Chana Bar Bizna said in the name of Rav Shimon Chasida, explaining the rules of these four fasts. Hachikamar, Bizman Sheyesh Shalom Yehiyu L'Sasona L'Simcha. Okay, those who were here last week, you probably remember that we had seen that line exactly two lines before, so we knew that was a phrase. Yeh Bizman Sheyesh Shalom, when there is peace, then these days will be L'Sasona L'Simcha. They'll be joyous. Yesh gzeira asamalchus, if there is an oppressive kingship, tzom, then it's a fast. Ein gzeira asamalchus, if you don't have an precious kingship, ve'ein shalom, but you also don't have peace, then ratzu misanin, ratzu ein misanin. Okay, that's where we ended. Ratzu misanin. So we saw how ratzu misanin and ratzu ein misanin, it's a repeat of words. The only difference is that in the second phrase you have the word ein thrown in between. So what does ratzu mean? Ratzu, rotze. It comes from to want, right? Ratzu means if they, the people, want to, then misanin. Misanin comes from the word. It's not a trick question, folks. This is what have we been talking about? Fasting, right? So ratzu, if they want to, misanin. Ratzu, if they want to, ain misanin, then they don't fast. Okay, so we have three different kinds of scenarios. Scenario number one, it's a joyous time. What do we do with the fast days? Chuck them, right? Scenario number two, there's an oppressive kingship, right? An oppressive, dictator ruling over the Jewish people. What do we do with the fasts? Observe them. What if it's not exactly oppression, but it's not exactly peace? Then it depends on what the people decide. Okay, that's the those are the three scenarios that the Gemara gives us. Okay, so that's where we are. That's what we were up to. Ratzu misana and ratzu enusana. That's a phrase which we're going to see more. Okay, e hachi. Okay, that's what we're up to now. E hachi. Everybody with me? The last two words on the line. Now, let's see. E hachi. Okay. Now turn in your package to e hachi. Okay? It's the page which is paginated number 12. With me? You have to turn a couple pages back. From hachi ka'amar, we went on to e hachi. Okay? E hachi sometimes appears in the Gemara as Aleph Hey. That's an abbreviation, just like USA is an abbreviation. In Hebrew, we call or an acronym. It's we call it in Hebrew Rashi Tevos, the beginnings of the words. Rashi, the beginnings. Tevos means words. So E hachi. Okay? Literally, if it is so. This is a big page to explain these two tiny little words. It's not only one page, it's a page and a half. Okay, so one of the reasons why I give you this and the other handouts which were given is so that you can reference this, because maybe in this Gemara, for example, you know, the way that the logic of the Gemara flows, it's a little easier to follow. But it's not always the case. And one of the earlier classes, I mentioned how whenever the Gemara gives you a phrase like this one, you really have to talk out what the Gemara is trying to do. You can't just translate the word ihachi, which means if it is so. Okay? If what is so? If what is so, and where are you going with this? There's a question. You're going to attack a major assumption which I have. You're going to attack a major premise which the Gemara may have introduced. And so that, the assumption that's being challenged, and therefore the rule which might be applied to throw out that initial or original assumption, is something which we need to be aware of and ready to utilize. And that's where Ihachi comes in. So Ihachi, let's read it. Ihachi introduces an attack question against some previous statement. It claims that if the previous statement is true, the following problem exists. Now, we could do this in English also. You think this table is a good table? Well, ihachi, how come sometimes the legs buckle if somebody kicks it? Not so sturdy, huh? Right, we do that in English. It implies that if the previous statement were not true, the following problem would not exist. It is important to know exactly what statement is under discussion. That's what I said before. If it is so, if what is so, what is it? Which is why it has to be talked out. This is why learning alone is always a bad idea. Okay, you got to talk it out with a learning partner. A learning partner, because the learning partner will either tell you you're right or you're an idiot. Okay? Now, it could be when the learning partner says that you're an idiot, it's really the learning partner who gets it wrong. Okay? Been guilty of that many times in my life. But the point is that when you articulate it to somebody else and you try to support your argument either becomes stronger or it falls apart. And you need to have that additional voice and additional mind to help you work through it. So it's important to know exactly what statement is under discussion, as well as understand why the problem being raised exists only, meaning the problem exists only if the statement is true. So there are two formats of the ihachi question: a direct attack on a statement. In this case, immediately following the words ihachi will come the attack question. Ihachi, boom, here comes the question. In this format, the attack is often a textual problem, and you'll find words like adatani, a masefa, or mibayale following ihachi. Okay, that, and then he tells you where there's an example in the Gemara, Gittin. An indirect attack question might be an ihachi on some previous statement. The Gemara will not demonstrate that the statement itself is intrinsically wrong, but rather that it leads to a false conclusion. In such a case, of course, the statement itself is thereby shown to be false. In this format, the conclusion which the Gemara draws from the statement immediately follows the words ihachi. Okay, so again, this means that there will not be an attack immediately after the words ihachi, But the Gemara is going to draw a statement, a new conclusion. Sometimes that conclusion is then followed by an attack word, such as v'ha, v'hatanya, tanan, ilma, or ilema rather, which introduces the question against the conclusion. In other cases, the Gemara simply presents the conclusion and it is obvious why it cannot be true. It's important to know from which statement the conclusion is derived, how the conclusion follows from that statement, and why the conclusion is false if the Gemara does not spell this out. Okay, what's the meaning behind the words if the Gemara does not spell this out? It means that you have to talk it out. Must. Otherwise, this is just an exercise in futility. Turn the page. And here he just gives us an illustration of how that works. Ihachi, if the previous statement is true, then we conclude that X, the conclusion drawn from the statement. However, but now we're going to have a new question on our conclusion. So there are two ways to answer such a question. Show that the statement does not lead to conclusion X, except that the statement does lead to conclusion X, but that the conclusion is true and the attack on it is wrong. It's important to know which of these two approaches the answer uses. Okay, so that's, now let's see, maybe we'll play a game as we're reading through the Ihachi to see which one it is. Okay. All right, so let's see. Now, actually, let's see if we can figure it out, okay? I actually kind of hinted to it before. So let's recall what the Mishnah had said. The Mishnah had said that the shluchim, the messengers, would go out to let everybody know about Rosh Chodesh on the following months, and it gave us the months. The Gemara began saying, what about Tammuz and Teves? Right? You got Avin there. So what about Tammuz and Teves? Why are those fast days not mentioned? And so, or why did the messengers not go out? And so the Gemara gives us this whole thing about the four fasts that Zechariah mentioned. So, you know, sometimes maybe the fast days are not relevant. So what's going to be the next question? Meaning, if the whole reason why the messengers would not go out to let people know about Tammuz and about Teves is because maybe they're not observing the fast days. So, right, it's optional. If you're not living in an oppressive time, it's optional, right? That's what we saw. So what's the obvious question? Let's review what the four fast days are. Shavuot, Asar B'Tammuz, Tisha B'Av, Tzom Gedalia, and Asar B'Teves. The Gemara's first question was, well, why did you not mention that they go out? Why did they not go out for Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and Asar B'Teves? Why did they not go out for those two fast days? Okay, when are the other two fasts? Tisha B'Av and Tzom Gedalia. What are the months? Av and Tishrei. Now they're going out Tishrei anyway, or we know that Tzom Gedalia is the day after Rosh Hashanah, okay? So they're going out Tishrei anyway. So there isn't going to be that kind of a question. So what are we left with?
Why are they going out for
Tishrei? If the fasts are optional, okay? So Phil, now support what you just said. Ihachi Tisha B'Av Nami. Look at the beginning of the next line. Tisha B'Av Nami. We're back in the Gemara. Okay? It's the first two words on the line, about 10 lines down. Tes Beis stands for Tes, the ninth of B'Av. Okay? The ninth of Tisha B'Av Nami. Okay? Phil, good. You anticipated the Gemara's question. But why did you anticipate the Gemara's question? Because what did I do? What did I do with the Gemara? I talked. Talked it out, okay? So we can anticipate the question sometimes, not always, sometimes, if you talk it out. If you try to figure out, like, Ihachi. Ihachi what? Ihachi, if it's true that fasts are optional, and you've asked the question about why you didn't mention why the messengers didn't go out for Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and Asar B'Teves, well, you can ask the exact same question in the opposite direction about Tisha B'Av, why does the guy go out to let people know when Av is? If it's optional, it's optional. How do I know? Look, Tisha B'Av, we know Tisha B'Av is a more serious fast. But according to the Navi in Zechariah, does he say this one, you know, this one's less important, this one more important, this one longer, this one shorter? Does he do that? No, he puts them all in the same sense. Tzoma Ravi, right? The fast of the fourth, Tzoma Chamishi, the fast of the fifth, Tzoma Shavi, Tzoma Asiri. So in his view, there's just four equal fasts in halacha insofar as whether you have to do them. Now, we could throw whatever we want into any of these fasts, I suppose. I mean, Tisha B'Av obviously has more seriousness, etc. But the question is still nonetheless a good question. Okay? So what's going to have to happen? Whose statement was attacked? Rav Papa. So who's going to defend Rav Papa? Yeah, okay, exactly. Okay, let's take a look. So now we're going to go back to how we normally do this. Okay, we're going to be asking the question. Where do we find the pauses? Okay, we're up to Tisha B'Av Nami. And I knew to stop there because what was the next word? Amar. Amar introduces that somebody's going to speak. And then we got to find the guy who's going to speak. So Amar, Rav Papa. Oh, see, Phil said it. Phil's right. Rav Papa is going to defend himself. So what's he going to say? Now we have to find the next pause. Okay? Let's find the next pause. What's a clear pause? Okay, there's a vav in v'huchpulu. Okay, that's one of our indicators. What's even more clear than vav? Because a vav could be, you know, it could be a combination, right? So it might not be a break. What's even more clear? It's a little after it. Yeah, de'amar. Yeah, de'amar. Okay, de'amar. Everybody see that word? De'amar, it's immediately under Rav Papa. De'amar. De'amar. De'amar means because somebody else said. Well, if somebody else said, that means we're going to have a new idea. That is, I mean, it may be an old idea, but it's a support idea, but it's a new phrase as far as we're concerned. Okay, so now let's go back. Now, I think we all know that Amar Rav Papa, that's the introduction to what Rav Papa is going to say. Amar Rav Papa. So now we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 words. 7 words which we need to string together in a way that makes sense. What's Rav Papa going to say about Tisha B'Av? Why is Tisha B'Av included in the months for which the shluchim, the messengers, would go out? Okay, again, see how I'm talking it out? That's what Rav Papa is going to have to try to answer. So what does he say? Okay, any phrase in there that you recognize? Okay, the first word's a little confusing because in Hebrew it means she'ani, that I, but that's not what it means in Gemara language. So ignore that for a second. Look for a phrase that you're familiar. Can you string any words together? Tisha B'Av, right? Okay, good. Okay, so that first word, she'ani, is actually pronounced she'ani in Gemara language. She'ani, Tisha B'Av. Okay? Okay, and then we have a vav in vihuchpulu. So let's read the next four words and see if we can break it down. Ho'il vihuchpulu bo tsarot. Tsaris. Anybody recognize any of these words? Tsarot. What is tsarot? Right, different bad stuff. Okay, so bo, how about bo? Bo is Hebrew. No, no, bet vav means what?
Came.
No, that's bet aleph. Bet vav is a combination of a prefix and a suffix. It's like in this week's parsha, Moshe is going to say, "Be Adoni, be at the burning bush." He says, "Be Adoni." Some people say the word "be" means please. But I saw, I don't remember which of the commentaries, but he says, Be Adoni, Shlach Nabi Ata Shlach. He says, the flaw in leadership is be, in me. Be means in, and e means be ani, in me. So what Moshe is saying is, I have a personal flaw, and so I'm not good to be a leader. Bo is another combination of a prefix and a suffix. Bet means in, right? Bo in him, or in this case, since we're talking about a date,
In it,
okay. Shehuch pulu bo tsarot. So in it, there are tzarot. There's tzaros on Tisha B'Av. What's huchpalu? Anybody know that word? Kefel? Familiar with that? The cup?
Double.
yeah. So kefel, I mean, it's not always, it's multiplied. Wow. Really, that's a better word. Huchpalu bo tzarot means that it had multiple tzaros in it. Okay, multiple tzaros in it. So now it's just a question of what does the word ho'il and shani mean? So those are words you would just look up in a dictionary. Ho'il means since, and shani means it's different. Okay, so now let's put it together. Shani Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is different. Different than what?
Than the other
fast days. Okay. Shehuch pulu bo tzarot. It has a lot of tzaros in it. You can identify, for each of the other ones, you can identify, you know, one major event. I mean, the truth is that we know of five things that are associated with Shavuos B'Tammuz. It's not clear that they all happen on Shavuos B'Tammuz, but anyway. But Tisha B'Av is identified as being just a really, really mega bad day. So that's Rav Papa's point. He says, why is Tisha B'Av different? Because it's a bad day. And now he's going to prove it. And how do I know he's going to bring a proof? Because what word did we stop with? After Tzaros. What's the next word? Da'amar Mar. Right, Da'amar Mar. We're going to be introduced to a new speaker. Da'amar Mar. So he's when you the Dalet means because or that. So he's saying that Tisha B'Av is a bad day, and how do I prove it? Da'amar Mar, because Mar taught something. Mar taught something. And what did Mar teach? Okay, we're at the end of the line there. It's the last two words. Okay, Tisha B'Av. Okay, so we have that. We have that phrase. Okay. Let's find our next break. Right, but what we're trying to find the breaks in the Gemara so that we can piece together what the Gemara is actually telling us. Okay? Where's our next major break? Okay, so on the next line we're going to have Amar Reish Shin. Usually it's usually Rabbi Shimon. Okay, but alright, so Amar Reish, that's good. So now we have to go back. So Da'amar Mar B'Tisha B'Av. So that we knew. Now let's read. Let's see if we can figure out anything else. Do we recognize any phrases? Okay, B'Tisha B'Av. So I'm going to read it straight through again without inflection, to try to help us at least see if we can recognize any phrases that we're familiar with. So B'Tisha B'Av. Next words: Charav Habayit Barishona Ubishniya V'Nilkada Beitar. V'nechresha ha'ir Tanya Amar Rav Shimon. So we got to Amar Rav Shimon. We know that Amar Rav Shimon is a new idea. So where? What do we have there? Any word or phrase which sounds familiar? Okay, Bayit Harishona. Bayit Barishona. What does that mean?
The first house.
The first house. Which house? Okay, so now let's go. So, what do we know about Tisha B'Av? What happened on Tisha B'Av? Right, the structure of its meaning. So, Nilkida must be referring to a word that means destruction, because that's what it says. I'm sorry. No. I apologize. I was doing the wrong thing. Charav. What does charav mean?
Destroyed.
Right. It's from the same root as the word cherev. A cherev is a sword, which is usually a word that is used in the context of destruction. But not only that, even more poignant when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, what's the Hebrew word that we use to describe the destruction? Churban. Churb. Okay, the nun is just a suffix. But churban, it's the same word. So churav, habayit rishona, the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. Now, where's the next phrase? What's Barishona? So we have a vav there, right? Barishona. So is it like the example that I've been giving, blue and gold, or is it two separate ideas? Is it Barishona uvishniya, or is it habayit Barishona uvishniya nilkada beitar v'nechresha ir? What do you think? Is it charav? barishona uvishniya? That would be one way of looking at a vav. Or is it charav habayit barishona, period, uvishniya vinilkada beitar? Okay, let's put it to a vote. Who thinks barishona uvishniya goes together? If you do, raise your hand. Okay, hands down. If you think barishona, and then there's a big pause, and then we do go on to the next one after that. All right, two people didn't vote. There's no. This is not the UN. You're not allowed to abstain. Okay. So you think barishona and vishniya are combined?
Yeah, I can control your vote.
Okay, so take a look at vinilkada. Vinilkada has another vav. All right, now that's an indicator of something. So here's the first. Okay, what do we know about Tisha B'Av? What happened on Tisha B'Av? What's the main thing that everybody knows about Tisha B'Av? Right, both temples are destroyed, Tisha B'Av. So therefore, the first vav here, barishona, uvishniya, that's a combination. Charav the base on Tisha B'Av, the base mikdash was destroyed. Charav bait harishona, uvishniya. Okay. That's two. It was destroyed in the first and in the second. Harav habayit barishona uvishniya. Okay, that's the first point that Mar is telling us. What else is Mar telling us? Vinilkada beitar vinecharisha ha'ir. Okay, those are two more ideas. How do I know that they're two separate ideas? Because of the vav. Okay, so what do they mean? Nilkada Beitar. So Beitar is the city that was also destroyed. One of the miracles of Tu B'Av was that when they came back to Beitar several years later, the bodies hadn't decomposed, even though they hadn't been buried. Now, I don't know what that means. I don't know how that happens. Pompeii, they weren't decomposed either, right? Whatever. Anyway, but they weren't decomposed. And what is Necharasha Ha'ir? So you have to find the root in the word Necharasha. Nun is usually a prefix. So what's the root? Yeah, what is Chorish? It's one of the 39 malachas, the 39 categories of work that are forbidden on Shabbos. Nechrisha ha'ir. No, the opposite. Not destroyed. Plowed, leveled. Okay, so maybe you're familiar with that story with Rabbi Akiva. Remember the story with Rabbi Akiva when he's going on the mountain. You know, they see the Harabai, they see the Temple Mount, and they see a fox going through there, and all the rabbis start crying. Rabbi Akiva is laughing. The Gemara there describes how they see that Tzion, what is it? I don't remember the pasuk. Tzion something techaresh, that it will be destroyed, and it will be flattened. It'll be plowed. And Rabbi Akiva said, right, but it also says, Od Yeshvu Zekeinim Uzekeinos Berchobos Yerushalayim, that the elders, elderly men, elderly women, will sit in the streets of Jerusalem. So if that prophecy was fulfilled, that the city's been plowed and it's flattened, the other prophecy is going to be fulfilled too. Okay, that's the story. But the point is that Nechrasha Ha'ir means that the city's been plowed. There's nothing left. Okay, so when we look at this, what did Mar do for us? What did Mar do for us? Remember what Rav Papa had said? Rav Papa said that why is there Av? Because Tisha B'Av is... right? Tisha B'Av is more stuff going on. And what did Mar tell us? He gave us... right, he gave us four examples of different Tzaras. Destruction number one, destruction number two, Beitar, and the city. Right? Remember, you know, it's one thing to destroy the temple, it's another thing to destroy Yerushalayim. So those are four different things. So that's Mar bringing proof for Rav Papa in explaining why Av is different. Now, what does that seem to suggest about Tisha B'Av? With, you know, in contrast to the other fast days.
Maybe also multiple things happen.
Right, but insofar as the observance of the fast days goes, what do you think?
Combine the
Right. It would seem to suggest that the, or I mean, forget about good times, but that the idea of Ratzu, that the people might opt out, they may opt out of Asar B'Teves, they may opt out of Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, they may opt out of even some Gedalia, even though some Gedalia isn't really discussed here, but Tisha B'Av, no, too much bad stuff, you can't ignore Tisha B'Av. Okay, and that's the main point that the Gemara is bringing out here, and what the Mishnah was bringing out, is that Av is a big deal, the other ones, really depends. Okay, so that's essentially the flow of the Gemara here. Okay, let's move on, because this was really the point. We started doing this Gemara the week of Asar B'Teves, and so I wanted you to see the following. Okay, let's do it. How did I know to stop at Tanya? Right, we were going to start with Amar Rosh. So Tanya actually. If you recall, the way that the Gemara introduces a Mishnah to us, it gives us the word mem, taf, nun, yud, and an apostrophe, okay, which we have said means masnisin. But many words which have in it the root taf, nun, like tanya, like tanan, like tanu rabbanan, all of those introduce a new tanaitic statement. Something which comes from a Mishnah, may come from a Brisa. So when you see Tanya, actually if you go back for a second to Rabbi Feigenbaum's depiction of Ihachi, if you look in, the last paragraph on page 12, third line, he says, sometimes the conclusion is then followed by an attack word. Look at those attack words. V'ha tanya. The tanya means that we learn somewhere else. Okay, so that's just a way of introducing you to words which you're going to come across all the time in the Gemara. So that's the kind of word that you would want to be able to recognize, pull out, and when you see it, you know, oh, that's a break. Tanya introduces again a Tanaitic statement, and what's that Tanaitic statement? That Amar Rav so and so. Okay, let's find it. Let's find our next break. Who's with me? Tanya Amar Rav Shimon. Okay, so with that we know he's going to introduce a new idea. So what's the next break? Why? Okay, there's a vav. Also, the fact of there being an asterisk there is an indicator that there's something going on. Okay? So where do we stop? Okay, so let's say Doresh. Okay? Let's look at that. So I'm Rabbi Shimon. Arba'a Dvarim Haya Rabbi Akiva Doresh. Resh Ayin stands for Rabbi Akiva. That's the kind of thing that with a little bit of learning you pick up right away. Right? Resh Ayin equals Rabbi Akiva. So what does that mean? Arba'a Dvarim.
Four
things. Haya Rabbi Akiva Doresh. Rabbi Akiva would
learn out from.
Right, he would make a drush on. What are those things? Oh, actually, before we get to that, we gotta finish this statement. Okay. Where's our next break? Correct. At the end of the line. Why? Because the next phrase is Tzomar Avi, which is a repeat. We've seen that many times. It's a quote from a pasuk. It's a repeat. Now, we didn't really see it tonight. We kind of talked about it. But had we been reading the Gemara from the beginning, then that would have been a very clear repeat. And so that is the first point we're going to stop. Va'ani ein doresh kamoso. Right, you have the word Doresh, which is also a repeat. What's Va'ani? And I. Ain. Don't. Doresh. Learn out. Kimoso. Like him. Kimo, oso. Kimo, that's Hebrew. Kimo, just like. Oso, oto, like him. I don't learn like him. So Rabbi Akiva learns one way, and I learn a different way. So now he's going to give us examples. Before we look at the first example, folks, let's see what we're at. When we see Tzomer Revi, what is Tzomer Revi? The fast of the fourth month. Remember Nisan, Iyar, Sivan,
Tammuz.
What's the date of that month? No. Don't look at the Gemara. What's the date? Yeah, the 17th, right? Everybody, right? Right? So what Rabbi Shimon is showing us is that he and Rabbi Akiva actually have debates about some of these things. Okay, let's take a look. Tzomer Revi'i. Where's our next break? Where's our next clear break? No, clear, extremely clear. Right? Correct. Shenamar. What does Shenamar do? What does it introduce? No, Shenamar usually introduces a pasuk. Shenamar. There are a few words that usually introduce a as the Sansino Gemara might call it, a verse in Scripture. Okay? Shenamar. You also might have Dichsiv. Dichsiv means because it's written. Where is it written? In the Torah. Or in the Bible, Shenamar, as it says, the pasuk. Barvi'i. Okay, so what we have to do? Yirmiyahu Nunbez, right? And the guy who prepared this sheet did not give you that pasuk. What kind of business is that? Oy vey. Okay, sorry, I should have given you that pasuk. Okay, so the quote from the pasuk, I believe, goes through the next two full lines. Okay? So, what would we normally do when we were doing this? You see a quote from a pasuk, what are you supposed to do? Look it up. Okay, if you have to go through, if you're using the more traditional Gemara, you have Yirmiyahu Nun Beis. If you're looking in the art scroll, they'll even give you the pasuk. And they'll tell you that it is on, here, Yirmiyahu Nun Beis. Bechodesh Harvi'i. I mean, you all have it if you want. It's hard to read it though. Bechodesh Harvi'i b'tishal lechodesh v'yechazak ra'a b'ir v'lo hayalechem la'am ha'aretz v'atibaka ha'ir v'chol anshei ha'milchama yivarchu v'yitzu me'ir laila. Okay, so how much of that was quoted in the pasuk? So the entire pasuk Beis. And then it even spilled over two words into the next pasuk, "Vatibaka ha'ir." Okay, so all that was quoted. Did you hear that? Did you see how that worked, folks? So what would you have to do? You'd have to break down the pasuk now. So "B'tish ala chodesh." What's that mean? On the ninth of the month, "Barvi." I shouldn't have said that word. "Barvi." The parenthesis, "Barvi." On the fourth month, "B'tish ala chodesh." On the ninth day, "Vayechazakar of a year." There was a famine in the city. The people in the nation did not have bread. And the wall was breached. The city was breached. Okay, is the beginning of the next verse. Okay, what's the next point of the Gemara? How do we know when to stop? We're at V'amai. Because that's the first word that's not part of the quote from the verse. And we have a lot of tricks that we can use. What? What? No, that's the word that we're up to. Where's the next? Yeah, so where's the next clear pause? We try to break things down into phrases. Which? Ah, correct. Excellent. We have a repeat of the word Revi'i. So that indicates that there's something weird because it's not normal to say Revi'i twice. Unless it's part of two different sentences. So, Amai Karile Revi'i, that's a question. Amai means why. I think I gave you that in the translation. No, I didn't. I'm lying. Okay. Amai means why. Karile. Is it called Revi'i? Where is it called Revi'i? What's called Revi'i? What's the verse saying, Revi'i? That's really what the question is. Revi'i la chadashim. the fourth of the months. So in other words, what's he saying, Rabbi Shimon? He's saying that when that pasuk says, Baravi'i b'tish ala chodesh, on the fourth month, in the ninth of the month, what does that mean? What's the date? Tell me a day and month. It's the ninth of what month? When the city was breached. Tammuz. The ninth of Tammuz? What are you talking about? The ninth of Tammuz? The answer is yes, the ninth of Tammuz. Read the next line. Amai karle revi'i, revi'i lachadashim. Why is it called revi'i? Revi'i means the fourth of the months. Keep reading. Tzom hachamishi zet tish'a be'av shebo nisraf beis Eloheinu. The fifth month fast is Tisha B'Av, Shebo Nisraf Beis Eloheinu, that on that day the house of our God was burned. Next word, Ve'amai. So first of all, Vav. Second of all, Amai is a repeat. Second of all, we know that Amai means why, because we just had it before. So it's a new question. Ve'amai kari le chamishi. How do I know to pause there? Because what's the next word? Chamishi. It's not going to say v'amai kari le chamishi chamishi. And we already had that question before. V'amai kari le revi. Now it's saying v'amai kari le chamishi. Why is it called chamishi? What does chamishi mean? The answer is chamishi lachadashim, the fifth of the months. So mashavi'i. So much is a repeat. Also, you get to see the pattern of what the Gemara is doing here. It's explaining to us what each of the fasts are. So we saw that before. So ma chamishi ze tishabav. So ma shvi'i ze. What's the next word? Gimel b'tishrei. What does that mean? It's the third of Tishrei. Shebo neherag. Where's the next pause? What'd you say? After his name. What's his name? Gedalia ben Achikam. Okay, that was Gedalia's name. So, Gimel b'Tishrei, the third of Tishrei, Shebo Neherag, on that day Gedalia ben Achikam was killed. Umi Argo, so there's a Vav on Umi. Now it's saying Gedalia had been killed, Umi Argo, and who killed him? Yishmael ben Atanya Argo. Okay, Yishmael ben Netanya, another Jew, killed him. Lamercha sheshkula misasan shel tzadikim kesreifas beis Eloheinu. Okay, now what he hasn't done yet is he hasn't explained to us where the differences are between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva. But we did get one hint. What's the one hint that we got so far? What's the one hint that we saw about where he may differ from Rabbi Akiva? In terms of making the drushas, in terms of figuring out pasuk. I asked the question before, but I didn't ask it that way. What did Rabbi Shimon just tell us about the Tzom HaRevi'i, the fast of the fourth month? Remember, he quoted the pasuk. What did the pasuk say? Remember, I think it was Shenemar? Let's go back to the pasuk. Okay, it's the fourth to last thin line in the Gemara. Shene'emar, barvi'i b'tish'al chodesh, in the fourth month, in the ninth of the month, v'yechazak ha'ra'av b'ir, the famine, or the hunger, was even stronger in the city. V'lo ha'yalechem la'am ha'aretz, there was no bread, v'tibokah ha'ir, and the city was breached. What does that indicate? What do we know about the month of the fast of the month of Tammuz? What is observed at that time? What's the major event surrounding the Churban, surrounding the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash that's observed in Tammuz? The breaching of the walls of Jerusalem. The breaching of the walls of Jerusalem. On what date? Right. Ah, see, you're correct. So on the 17th. But what does this pasuk say? On the 9th. So we have a contradiction. And this is what Rabbi Shimon is saying. I have a different drasha than Rabbi Akiva. Why? Because my understanding is that the fast day is commemorating the breach of the city in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, for which I have a verse, I have a pasuk which tells me when the breach of the city took place. It took place in the 9th of Tammuz. It's the second Beis HaMikdash, when the city was again breached, that took place on the 17th of Tammuz, and that's the one that we observe today. But his point is, we, Rabbi Akiva and I, are both living after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Which fast in Tammuz do we follow? That's the difference which they had. How would you know that? Well, you read the Gemara, or you pay attention to the dates, and you understand where he's going with this. He's saying, I have a different view. And guess where else he's going to have a different view with Rabbi Akiva? About which other fast day? The fast, the Tzom HaAsiri, the fast of the 10th month, which we call what today? What, we just had it last week. What do we call it? Asara B'Teves. So, and this is the whole reason that why I wanted to do this Gemara with you. So you can see not only that there's a debate about what date should be observed as the fast day of the month of Teves, but there's also a debate as to what impetus, what's the reason behind the fast. And that is something which we're going to get into next time, because our time is up for this evening. Okay, just so you should